This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge in for Frank Stacio. Lions and spotted hyenas are predators that compete for the same prey throughout sub-Saharan Africa. But does one species have an intellectual advantage over the other? That's the question being asked in a new Smithsonian Channel two-part series titled Killer IQ, Lion versus Hyena. Animal behaviorist Kevin Richardson and some of the world's leading wildlife experts run a series of experiments on these predators of the African plains.
Every hyena has an individual whoop with a unique sound pattern, the hyena equivalent of signing your name. Kevin is going to try an experiment to see how hyenas respond when they hear intruders in their territory. Kevin plays the whoop of a total stranger that this clan has never heard before.
Okay.
Tika approaches the sound and lowers his head as he starts to whoop in response. A call that rallies together the dominant hyenas to search for the intruder.
It was what you would expect if there was an unfamiliar hyena in their territory. I mean, they got to understand, where does he come from? Why is he there? Let's get rid of him.
One of those experts featured in the film is Duke Professor of Evolutionary Anthropology and Biology, Christine Dre. Dre has been studying the behavior of socially complex mammals like the hyena for years, and she joins us to discuss some of the experiments in this series. Christine, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's begin by discussing why these two animals, lions and hyenas, are being compared to each other.
Well, I think the choice of two major predators that live off of the same food sources, occupy the same environment, somewhat controls for biases that would otherwise be present if you picked animals that were very different. So they're facing the same kinds of challenges. How do they go about solving them?
You have spent more time following hyenas than lions, I gather. Can you talk a little bit about the hierarchy and social structure of hyenas in their clan, which is rather complex?
It is very complex. Spotted hyenas live in a clan, which is a matriarchal system. So you have a bunch of matriarchs and all of their female descendants, with one matriline being more highly ranked than another. And females born into this clan sort of inherit their dominance rank right under that of their mother, and they stay in that natal clan for the rest of their lives. So a female is born into her status and keeps that status for her lifetime. Young males acquire their maternal rank within their natal clan, but they leave at puberty, and then they have to go join another clan where, if they are allowed entrance to that clan, they start at the bottom of the rung and work their way up. One thing that is very unusual about hyena society is that in this hierarchical system, all of the females are higher ranking than all of the males.
What is it about the females that make them so dominant? Are they more intelligent? Are they bigger? What is it?
Well, that's one of the questions that we've been addressing for a number of decades. And we think it's linked to a suite of traits that are characterized as masculinization of the female. So the female is larger, meaner, badder, higher ranking, and also has some funky genitalia that go with it. So it's a package deal.
Wow. Badder, meaner, and funky genitalia. I don't know who else has ever been described that way. One of the questions that they're trying to get to in this series is, do these complex social environments like spotted hyenas have in their clans breed a higher level of intelligence? What can you tell us about that?
Well, one of the hypotheses about intelligence is called the social intelligence hypothesis, or the social brain. And the idea is that living in a group poses a number of challenges above and beyond those that are posed by living in the natural world. So everybody has to find food, everybody has to find a mate, everybody has to find a territory, and so forth. But if you live in a fixed, constant social group, you have to solve all of these problems in the face of competition or cooperation between members of your group. And so the idea is that you're trying to solve these problems, in a sense, by outwitting your group members. So the social intelligence hypothesis, or social brain hypothesis, posits that the more socially complex you are, the more challenges that you face in solving your everyday problems, because you're not only solving the problems that you encounter in the world about you, but you're also solving problems within the social network.
So this series focuses on a number of intelligence tests, trying to test the intelligence of both lions and hyenas. Will you explain some of the tests used?
So one of the tests used actually on both species was a cooperation task. So this was to see if animals could readily modify their behavior in conjunction with that of another individual to solve a task that they wouldn't be able to solve on their own. So can you coordinate your behavior in time and space to together solve a task?
Like what? Will you give the example?
So an example was this puzzle box that had two doors, and you could open a trap door if you pulled at a certain strength on both of these handles at the same time. So one hyena could be pulling in one direction and loosening its spring, but unless the other animal was pulling on the other one, the trap door wouldn't open. It was only if both of the animals coordinated and pulled at the same time with sufficient strength that the door would pop open and then food would become available to both animals.
And the hyenas were able to figure this out rather quickly.
Yeah, the hyenas figured it out on the first time they saw it. They just had to overcome some neophobia or fear of new objects. So what was interesting here is that this was otherwise a random group of hyenas that had never participated in any kind of experiment. And they're presented with this puzzle box for the first time. And after getting used to the weirdness of it, they opened it readily.
And you also see how the lions do on this test. And if I had to place a bet, I'd certainly bet on the hyenas.
Yeah, so would I. The lions did surprisingly well as also, but they had more of a issue with monopolization. So when they introduced the male into this problem-solving task, he sort of wanted to keep it all for himself, and that would potentially delay performance or delay opening the box.
I'm speaking with Christine Dre today on The State of Things. One of the other experiments that they do in this, that show, I guess if we're going to pit lions and hyenas, which show how you could be deceived or animals work together, is they put these cardboard cutouts of some of the species that lions and hyenas would go after that varied in size, so water buffalo down to a warthog, and then they let the lions and hyenas out. And the lions did work together, kind of, and they went rushing. But that didn't even work with the hyenas. They didn't even get that far. What happened?
I think they weren't fooled by it. I don't think it's a question of they didn't get that far. I think it's that they have a better visual system and they probably weren't excited about a cutout, perhaps.
Hyenas compared with other animals, we don't really think about the intelligence of hyenas. I mean, we hear about pigs and we hear about primates, chimpanzees. But you've actually worked with hyenas and kind of compare them to what a chimpanzee might do, a primate. What have we found actually about how intelligent these animals are, hyenas?
What have we found?
Yeah.
Well, we found that they're remarkably intelligent. They solve these tasks that could be perceived as fairly challenging for a primate to solve, and they solve it quite readily. In some sense, that's not overly surprising. This is their livelihood depends on group hunting, on coordinating their behavior with other individuals when they're bringing down particularly hardy prey. So it's not really a surprise, but it's kind of a preconception that we all have that we as humans belonging to the group of primates have to be the most intelligent, of course.
When you watch this some two hours of lions and hyenas experiments, you think, well, that's very far away from the way I have to deal with getting my food. But there are so many things which you can see trying to pretend that you're being submissive or trick someone. They're actually exactly like what every one of us have to do every day. This is not that far off.
Right. So in terms of their social relationships, they really have to pay attention to what other animals are doing. This is particularly true of those who are lowest ranking in the group. Their social reality is so different from that of the higher ranking animals, and they must pay attention to what the dominant animals are doing to guide when they behave, when they approach food, when they avoid situations. So,
or they go hungry.
Or they go hungry, yeah. Or they get beaten up.
So though we might not agree that we should be comparing lions and hyenas, if you had to say who you'd want in your corner, you'd definitely say a hyena.
Of course I'd say a hyena, but not live on TV or on the radio. All animals are intelligent in their own way, and it depends on the tasks that they're solving. But yeah, if I had to pick.
Well, thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Christine Dre is a professor of evolutionary anthropology and biology at Duke. She's featured in the new two-part series, Killer IQ, Lion versus Hyena, on the Smithsonian Channel. Part two of the series debuts March 11th, but you can visit our website for more details. Just ahead, more of The State of Things. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.